So this afternoon, we're going to have some fellowship regarding reading the Word and preaching the gospel, amen. Not as the religious duty, but in the divine romance. Amen. So we have quite a few students who are going to share their testimonies with this in these aspects. So I just want to share how my feeling about this time. The Lord is really... I think he really loves this time, because these times in the afternoon are life-changing. Because I've heard many testimonies of people who heard testimonies in previous gospel conferences, and it really was nothing less than life-changing. For example, the sister who transferred to our locality, she said she was in the pits, she was depressed, she had no way to go on, humanly speaking, dropped out of school. But she heard a testimony regarding reading the life studies. And then she set her heart to read the life studies. Amen. And then she finished reading the New Testament life studies, and it changed her whole outlook on life. Amen. It changed her humanly, academically, and in the church life. She's still going on, right? Praise the Lord. Amen. So I just want to give you this introduction so that you pay all your attention on these testimonies. Maybe the Lord will touch you in a specific way. The other thing is this fellowship, I believe the Lord's view of it could be, this could be age-changing. Besides life-changing, after our lives are changed, we will change the age. You know why? Because Matthew 24:14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole inhabited earth, for what? A testimony. Testimony is not just speaking with words, but it's a living out of Christ. Amen. As the reality. So, for a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Don't you want this?
Amen.
I think the Lord's, our dear bridegroom, his heart is beating for this. He's waiting for this. So if we pay attention to all these testimonies, I believe we will gain something. Amen.
So first off, we'd like to ask Robinson from Irvine to come up. So Robinson would like to share with us how reading the Bible changed his Christian experience from objective to a subjective, personal, affectionate experience with the Lord. Amen.
Hi, everyone. My name is Robinson. I'm a fourth-year mechanical engineering student at UCI. And I know the line of fellowship is regarding how to preach the gospel. But in my opinion, preaching the gospel is more like a test. It shows what you're constituted with. I mean, how are you going to show up to an exam if you haven't been constituted with the material? And I just want to emphasize on how to become the Lord's loving seekers. Through my own testimony, really. I mean, we can't speak anything we haven't experienced. So just to give a little background on who I am, I grew up in a Christian home, and I went to a church my entire life. But I didn't really know the Lord until I went to a children's conference when I was like 7 or around there. And I remember the outcome of that conference was, I remember the Lord was especially real to me in that conference, because I came out knowing he was my best friend. I had recently just lost my best friend. You know, the kids you hang out with when you're young, and you just kind of a troublemaker with. He had just moved away pretty far, so, you know, you're kind of bummed out. But I remember after that day, I knew that the Lord was my best friend. And in my, you know, young pursuit of the Lord, I was always conscious of that. Like, I want the Lord to be wherever I'm at. I know he's got my back. I know that he's with me wherever I go. And that kind of just developed as I grew and matured. But really, I mean, going to a denominational church, sometimes the word is, you know, it flows in abundance, but sometimes there's just a dry river. You know, sometimes you receive, sometimes you don't. Sometimes they're just... the word just goes over your head. So I sought out to find the Lord in whatever way I could. And I did it many ways. I did the best to contact the Lord through songs. And I thought, you know, like, I feel the Lord's presence when I hear this certain song, so I'll hear this song or whatever. Or I would get my Bible, the Bible that my mom bought me, Reina Valera version, and I just open it. You know, I'm a young kid, you know, barely know Spanish, but I'm like, okay, you know, Old Testament, cool. But, you know, coincidentally, when you open up the Bible halfway through, you land on Psalms. So I kind of like started developing this loving relationship with the Lord through the Psalms I would read randomly. And they were always timely. They were always on point. And, you know, it wasn't until my first year in college where I realized, you know, this feeling that I get when I read these Psalms and this peace and love and just comfort I get, it's not just some vague, you know, understanding of the Holy Spirit that's upon me, but it's the Lord himself through the Spirit in my spirit. The Lord himself is the peace and rest I sought after, the comforter. You know, he was all these things. And just naturally, you fall in love with this person. How can you not if he is all that you need and want? And just a few takeaway points I want to give out is, my experience has been, how will you find the Lord if you do not seek him? And I'd like to share Jeremiah 29:13 that says, you will seek me and find me if you search me with all your heart. Seek and you will find. So just an emphasis on this. You can't preach something you haven't lived. You have to love the Lord, have him completely constitute you with his being, and then that will just naturally flow out. Amen.
Amen. So if we seek him, we will find him, right? And then this brother said he lost his best friend, but what did he find? Jesus, right? As his real best friend. So in 1 Peter 2:9, it says, the gospel is to tell out the virtues of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Ephesians 3:8, Paul says, what kind of gospel did he preach? The unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel. So Christ in so many aspects needs to be enjoyed by us through the word and lived out of us as a living testimony.
Okay, so next up we have Allison from Irvine. Allison, amen. So she also liked to share how reading the Bible every day changed her Christian experience as well.
So hi, I'm Allison. I'm a fourth year at UCI. I'm also mechanical engineering. I met the Irvine Christian students my freshman year on campus. And before that, I hadn't actually really read the Bible before. I grew up in a Christian family, but the only time we ever really got into the Word was on church on Sundays. And so it was kind of embarrassing meeting the saints, and I'm like, yeah, I'm a Christian. I haven't read the Bible. But they were really encouraging, and I started getting into Bible studies. And we'd pray before we got into the Word, and so we were contacting our spirit. And I had, like, never done that before. I was like, wow, like, what is this? And then we'd get into the Word, and I was just seeing so many truths I hadn't seen before. And I had to start coming to the Bible, the Word, without my own concepts and opinions that I had gained from my old, like, traditional Christianity. And I just came open-minded to the Word to see what the Lord was going to touch me on. And so I started touching the Lord, and someone once described the Bible as a romance novel to me my freshman year, and that completely changed my concept, because before I just saw it as this book of just rules and stories, and I didn't really want to come to it because I just felt like I fell so short when I was reading it. But I was seeing it as a romance novel, and I just wanted to learn to love this Lord much more, and I knew I could do that by coming to the Word. And so I was just so encouraged that I decided last year to get into the New Testament. And so every morning I'd get my coffee and I would sit down for about 10 minutes and I'd read a chapter or two of the New Testament. And not everything sunk in, but there was always a point that like I really appreciated. And so I got to start seeing what was really on God's heart. I didn't know like we had a spirit before I came to college, and I didn't even understand that we were being built up as like a body for Christ. I just always thought like, oh, you come to him, like you ask for forgiveness, he cleanses you. It was just like kind of like the circle, this pattern, and there was really no purpose to it. But once I started reading the New Testament, I saw the purpose of, like, my Christian life. Like, it's not just to come and ask for forgiveness and, oh, this, like, Lord loves you. But he's building us up as his body. He's, like, preparing us as the bride. And so then I started really wanting to get into the Word. And I read a ministry book recently called Reading the Bible to See Its True Meaning and Central Thought. And what really touched me in the ministry book is that it talked about how we should come to the Bible to care mainly for God's needs, not our own needs. So I'd been coming, like, looking like, oh, you know, I'm going through this difficulty. Like, hopefully I find something in the Word. But that's not the reason you should come to the Word. You should come to find out what's on God's heart. And all that's on God's heart is to dispense himself into us. And to dispense himself into us, building us up as the body and preparing us as the bride.
Yeah. So from her sharing, you can see how through reading the Word and the ministry books that opens up the Word, how the Lord became so real to her and subjective to her, and how God's heart was unveiled to her. I don't know if she shared just now, but she shared with us that she built up a habit of reading a chapter every day, right? So after the conference, you know, we're all falling in love with the Lord. We're in a high mountain, in a high experience. But after the conference, how do we maintain that love relationship with the Lord? Read the love letter, the Bible, the Word of God. Amen.
So next up, we have Caleb and Ken from Diamond Bar. So the two brothers are at the brother's house. They'd like to share with us how reading the Word has changed their experience and how it even changed the atmosphere of the brother's house in Diamond Bar.
Hello, my name is Caleb Rosado. I was born and raised as a Christian in Long Beach. And raise your hand if someone has ever told you should read the Bible. Raise your hand. Okay, that's pretty much everybody. And if you didn't raise your hand, this is me telling you should read the Bible. Because I realized, you know, I was born into a Christian family, right? I was saved when I was a sixth grader, and I was baptized when I was a sixth grader. But the church life wasn't my living. So actually, when somebody says, are you in the church life, I was hesitant to answer that question. I just said, I'm a Christian and I love the Lord. And that is true, right? We all love the Lord. We declared it when we got saved, when we got baptized. Like, you know, when you get married, you're in love, right? But there is a relationship that needs to be built. And I realized, well, actually, 2 years ago, I was challenged to read the Bible. And I was challenged my whole life. I'm challenging you guys right now, but I was challenged my whole life. And I didn't say no. I just always started maybe with just a couple of verses, and then just, anyways, it didn't work out too well. But I really appreciated even this past message just saying the Bible is the Lord is betrothing us. The Bible is a betrothing ministry. So when I was challenged 2 years ago, just like that sister, I challenged myself at least one chapter a day. We have 24 hours in a day. I give so many minutes of my time to so many things. I can't give 5 or 10 minutes to the Lord. So it really exposed me, so I gave maybe like 10 to 15 minutes to the Lord, just one chapter every day. And my Christian life has changed drastically. Amen. So 2 years ago, when I was challenged and I started to read, after that one chapter, I was like, I want to do it again. I was super happy. I even cleaned my room that night. I specifically remember. And I realized I wanted to be captivated by his beauty. And I realized this was a relationship. So I started one chapter a day, and it dropped so many of my concepts. And then I realized, I started to see myself live in a different way. And then I went back to campus. So this was in the summer when I was challenged. I went back to campus, and because I've been in the Word every single day, there was this one brother, his name is Julio, and last year was his first conference here at Oakland. And he came up to me, not even a Christian, he's not agnostic, he knows there's a God, but he was looking for him. And he was walking on campus, and he saw my Christians on Campus Long Beach shirt. And he said, he was walking by me like this is him. He was walking by me. He said, you're a Christian. Why do you believe in God? I was excited because I was actually in the Word. I actually just spoke to him what I read that morning. And actually, I also saw another video of something of ministry that was on my heart. So when I was speaking to him, it was almost as if like, what? You're changing all my concepts of what I thought God was. And that little 5 minutes of questioning that he had for me turned into 2 hours. And I was late to class, but I was super happy because even when I showed up to class, my teacher said, it's okay, you know. I wasn't late for lecture, which is good. Anyways, the Lord takes care of you. When you're in the Word, the Lord has a way to overflow through you. And sorry, I'm taking a little bit of time. But so I came from Long Beach, and then I transferred to Cal Poly Pomona. And I had concepts of I'm leaving all my friends, and even those two ones that were saved. Oh, by the way, he was saved, and he's enjoying the Lord. And actually, yeah, just really quick, right away we started to pray for his family. He wanted his dad to get saved. And his dad got saved 2 months later. And then after his dad got saved, he said, our family needs to get saved. So they started to pray for his family who are in Mexico. The saints are everywhere. So we pray that his whole family will be saved. The saints in Mexico are meeting with his family right now. Amen. And him and his dad are in the home meetings in Long Beach. So if I wasn't in the Word, what would have happened to my brother Julio? What would have happened to his whole family? I probably would have been like, I was born as a Christian. Like, I can't tell you much. But maybe you should come to a conference, you know, something. But actually, the Lord had a way to speak through me because he had already spoken to me, right? So really quick, so when I came to Cal Poly Pomona, I didn't want my Bible reading schedule to change. So I was praying for a companion just to read the Word with, or just, you know, that I would stay focused and continue to read the Word. And we had a morning revival time with our housemates. I live in a brother's house. And anyways, after our house time, the morning revival finished. 5 minutes later, Ken and I are just talking, and we're fellowshipping what we just enjoyed. That turned into 2.5 hours of just constant fellowship. And I've never seen him smile or, like, speak that great. Like, it was just like, whoa, like, who is this brother? And he's my roommate. So I asked him, do you want to read the Bible every day? Every night, one chapter with me, because that's what I normally do. And he said, amen. He said, where should we start? I said, I'm in Galatians. So we started to read Galatians, and then after we finished Galatians, the Lord gave us a feeling to go to Genesis. So then I finally got to use my Bible that I've been wanting to use, the Holy Bible, because I usually only use the New Testament. Anyways, the Lord really encouraged me that I can read the whole Bible, and I have somebody to read it with. And now we're in the life studies. I've never read the Word or the ministry in a consistent way, and I've never been this excited. I don't know. Anyways, there's so much, but yeah.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, this excitement definitely comes from reading the Word. So I just have a question, you know, are we those that have a heart for the Lord? Are we those that really love the Lord? If we are, and I do believe we are, it should not even, you know, be a matter of can we read the Bible, should we read the Bible. That's somewhat even like religiously, right? You should not. We must, actually. If we really see the importance, and this is really what turned it for me, because I, too, did not really used to read the Bible consistently or the ministry. But after I really realized the significance of what it meant to turn to the Word, it was building a relationship, you know, just like when you meet someone, you have different relationships in your life. To make them work, you need to talk to that person. They talk to you, you talk to them. I prayed, you know, I'm talking to God. But then I always had the question, you know, is the Lord listening? You know, Lord, you know, why don't you answer me? Or, you know, give me some insight, give me some revelation, give me a vision. And actually, all that and every answer that we seek is, he already spoke the answers that we seek. It's in the Word. Amen. This is his breath. You know, we get to taste and enjoy even that. Really, it's really easier a lot, you know, with a companion. You know, we're roommates, not only housemates, but roommates. So pretty much at the end of the night, basically every day, it's before we go to sleep, we read a chapter. And sometimes that turns into a lot of time. It could be 30 minutes, but, you know, actually the interesting thing about that is that enjoyment is so much more that after we finish reading, before we start reading, we pray. When we're reading, sometimes we pray. After we finish reading, we for sure pray. And we enjoy, and we spend like, you know, hours, so sometimes we end up sleeping super late. But it's really enjoyment that overflows into every aspect of our lives, and this is like a daily process. And I definitely saw it, you know, in both of us, you know, dealing with our own struggles in life. Yeah, it really helps with everything to turn to the Lord.
Amen.
I think one of the best ways is really to open up that Bible and to really seek him, you know, to have this intimate, seek this intimate, affectionate relationship with the Lord.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. So they didn't share it right now, but they shared it with us earlier today, that out of their enjoyment of the Lord and the Word came out brotherly love, because that brother started folding clothes for that brother, right? This is a living testimony of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
So next up we have Jeffrey from UCLA. Jeffrey. He'll share with us not only the Bible reading affected his Christian experience, but even brought him out to the gospel. Amen.
My name is Jeffrey. I'm a third year at UCLA studying electrical engineering. And over this summer, I came to the college training here. My biggest takeaway from the college training is that fruit bearing should be an overflow of our daily living.
Right.
Whatever we do as branches, we need to have the life supply from the Lord and to flow out the Lord. So this summer, I gave myself to practice. Even though I was very busy, I endeavored to get into even a little bit of the Word, a chapter a day, just to be supplied. And then throughout this quarter, I've just really been enjoying overflowing these riches out to other new ones. I realized that if I'm not enjoying the Lord myself, there's no way I can bring others into the enjoyment of the Lord. And to nourish others, to feed others with the Word, I first need to be supplied.
Amen.
So there were many experiences of me meeting with the new ones. Sometimes the times are really good, but when I realize that in myself, when I'm not supplied, something is missing. There's no way for me to really flow out to the new one, and there's no way for that new one to enjoy these riches. And yeah, I just realized through these experiences that I need to be filled every day. One time in our campus Bible study, someone brought up that the Lord is like the electricity, and we need to stay plugged in to the electricity to shine forth Him. And then what's funny was that a week later, I had a midterm on electricity. And then I was studying 5, 6, 7 hours straight for that midterm about electricity. And then it was like 2 a.m. I needed to go to sleep. But the Lord just kind of shined on me. Hey, you haven't touched me as the real electricity. I was like, amen, Lord. I need to read the Word. So just practicing being washed by the Word. I can be so dry from all my studying, all the stuff. But I need to be washed by the water in the Word.
Amen.
And this is how the Lord supplies us, and this is how we can reach out to other new ones and overflow this riches of life to them.
Amen. Thank you, Jeffrey. So the punchline I got from Jeffrey was that he had to read the Bible because the next day he had to shepherd two new ones. Isn't that awesome? To supply others, we first need to be supplied ourselves. So next up, we have Doreen and Mercy from Irvine. They also like to share experience with us how they brought six new ones to be baptized and join the club since August. Man, Doreen and Mercy.
Hi, I'm Doreen. I'm a third year at UCI. I'm second year in UCI. Mercy, sorry, my name's Mercy. The students in UCI started preaching gospel in August this year, and every Wednesday we spend 2 hours on preaching in front of library. Since then we got six students baptized. Yeah.
Although we don't have baptism every week, but we still consistently preach the gospel every week.
Right.
So we're going to share with you our experiences of gospel preaching, and especially with a new one.
Amen.
Amen. Before preaching the gospel, the whole district prayed for us about this work. And among the students, we do have small prayer groups. We pray anytime and anywhere for through social media and phone call that he can gain new ones for himself. What I enjoyed in this work is that it doesn't matter what we speak during preaching, but it's God's work. Every time I'm not sure what to start, should I start with God's economy or start with the three parts of man? But it doesn't matter because it's God's work on them.
Amen.
God put a seeking heart in them and then arrange us to meet.
Amen.
Because it is God who does the work. It is easy because we are just cooperating with Him.
Right.
And it doesn't matter what we say because it's God's Spirit and God's power in us.
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians 2:4 it says, and my speech and my proclamation were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So the first time we met with the new one, she's just walking on campus just like any other girl. And we passed out the tract to her, and we invited her to the home meeting. But she's not free to come Friday night, but she's really interested to join our table meeting, so she came.
Yeah, inviting a new one to a table meeting maybe is not the best choice, but it's God's work on, but God is working on her, and she got baptized after the meeting.
After she got baptized, she shared her testimony with us, and she said she's going over a really hard time, and she's really grateful that she married us. And if it was not meeting with us, she would have break down. But right now, she's meeting regularly with us.
Yeah, and now she reads the Bible with my roommate and me every day. We almost finished the Gospel of John.
Amen.
Yeah, so preaching the Gospel doesn't depend on ourselves, but it's God's Word. I encourage all the students to go preach while you are still a student.
And gospel preaching is not something of the mind, so don't think through everything. Just go in spirit and with the love of God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So it's really encouraging to see how there it starts with a personal relationship with the Lord through the Word, through reading the Word. And then you, in some cases you see how they start reading the Word with a companion, right? And then out of that comes the shining testimony in their living. There's a corporate testimony of the Lord. And then when people come in contact with them, they see the reality, right? So I was touched today. And if you read Revelation chapter 6, there's a four-horse race right now going on since the ascension of Christ until his second coming, right? There are four horses signify four things. The white horse signifies the gospel horse, right? The red horse signifies war. The black horse signifies famine. So with war, usually there comes famine. And then with famine, usually there's death. So that's the last horse, the pale horse. You can read the footnotes there. So what I'm saying is, today in this world right now, right, there's a real situation of war in the Middle East. There's shootings everywhere. I was playing pickleball just 2 weeks ago, and these people said, "Oh, your name's Jubilee?" I was like, "Yeah." But then they're like, "Oh, so you're a Christian, huh?" In Texas, there was Christians killing Christians in the church in Texas, right? So the enemy uses those things, right? But on the other hand, you also see how people want the reality, right? So we have to not preach the cheap gospel, but we have to really get into the Word, be infused with Him, and shine Him out, right? So when they said that kind of thing to me, and then one even said, "I don't see atheists killing each other," right? I just kept quiet. I just said, "Lord, keep me in my mingled spirit," right? Then I played with them, and they said, "Oh, I love playing with you. I want to play with you again," right? So anyways, people want the reality. So this is that they want the desire of all the nations, right? So Haggai 2:7 says, "He will shake all the nations, and the desire of all the nations will come," right? That desire is of all the nations is Christ Himself. But the enemy is blinding them, so we need to shine Him out through our living, right? So Haggai 2:7 footnote says, "The desire of all the nations is Christ. Even though the nations do not know Christ, they still desire Christ. All people desire to have peace and a good life with virtues such as light, love, patience, humility, meekness, endurance, joy, and righteousness." In politics, do you see righteousness? You see a lot of hypocrisy, a lot of people bashing each other. People want the reality. Since Christ is the reality of all these things, for the nations to desire these things means that unconsciously, they are desiring Christ, right? So I just want to end on a few practical things. In my experience, since I was in high school, I started using the Mystery of Human Life booklet. If you don't have one, you can ask your serving ones. It's even online, livingstream.com. you can print it out. So in my experience, even we pray together with our companions. Sometimes we invite them for dinner. Sometimes even just to study. And then this summer, I was just burdened. I saw a friend, my roommate, bringing his friend to study. So I was just burdened to cook for them. Eventually, he started asking questions, right? Eventually, he wants to know the Lord. Then I said, hey, let's read this Mystery of Human Life booklet. And my burden was to get to the end when he can pray. So don't forget that, right? Because that's how they will touch the desire of the nations, right? That's Christ. And then another booklet from Bibles for America is called Is Jesus in Your Boat, right? Just before I came up, someone was really seeking, and I said, let's read this. And he prayed, right? Have you ever prayed? No. So we read the booklet, and then he prayed, right? So the point is, we first need to fall into a divine romance with the Lord personally, and then we're built up with our spiritual companions. And then we have all these tools, right? So there's no excuse. We have what the world is really seeking for, the reality, the desire of all the nations.
Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, I hope all the testimonies have been so encouraging. And we trust that among many of you, you also have similar experiences with reading the Word and preaching the gospel. So hallelujah, there's a reason why you're in groups right now. So we'd like to encourage you to share some of your own experiences with the Word and the gospel or anything related to this conference in your groups. And if you look around, you probably recognize that not everyone, you probably don't know everyone in your groups. So there are some trainees, some serving ones, some students in your groups. And within your groups, there are probably at least 2 to 3 campuses represented. So maybe to facilitate, we provided a kind of an icebreaker game for you. So we'd like to ask one person from each group to go to the back of the room. In the box, there's a brown paper bag. And on top of that paper bag, there should be an instruction for you to how to carry out the icebreaker game. And we hope that we could do this for maybe the next half an hour. And then at 5:20, at 5:20, we can not only get to know one another humanly, but within the groups, we really hope that you will be able to pray for one another. Pray for your campuses, open up the burden of your Christian Students Club, and also pray for each other's spiritual condition. There's another box in the front too, if it's easier. Yeah, amen. So please do not be dismissed until you have announcements in this room. Thank you, Saints.